Who made Jesus God? The answer is nobody. Okay, nobody made Jesus God. And God, the essence of God, is that you do not made, you do not get made. Jesus is God, begotten from the Father from all eternity, not made or created. God is God from the beginning. What makes the Bible true? What makes the Bible true? Now, an interesting quote. I came across this quote just a couple of weeks ago. It's interesting by a guy named Jordan Peterson. He's not a Christian, but he's someone I keep tabs on because I think he's interesting. He said something about the Bible which was interesting. Not a Christian, but this is a good quote. The Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth, which makes it way more true than just true. Now, we would say something is true if it's corresponding to a reality. And so if I ask one of my daughters, which I do from time to time, actually I don't ask this particular question, have you cleaned out the litter box? Oh, I threatened to get rid of that cat so many times. It's like, if the litter box is not clean this time, the cat is going to test the whole nine lives theory. And if they say yes, and the litter box is cleaned out, we would say that is a true statement. It corresponds to the reality of the litter box. Now, if they would say, yeah, and I go downstairs and I smell the offending smell of the litter box and I look and it's, you know, barely containing the mess within, we would say that that statement, that yeah, that was not true because it didn't correspond to the reality. Now, what this is saying is that the Bible is the ultimate reality by which everything else must be judged. It is a precondition for truth. And so it is the thing by which everything else is measured. Now, this matters so much for your Christian walk. If you're going to follow Christ, this matters so much because we get in a habit of taking the most immediate thing as the most true. And often, what is the most immediate thing? Most immediate thing is how I feel and my emotions. So somebody comes into my office, and this is a, you know, one of the job hazards of being a pastor. People come and they tell you their problems, which it's fine. I think I will be a listening ear, hopefully. You guys can pray for me. And so someone comes and this happens, and man, this happens to me. It's like, I don't feel like a Christian. I don't feel like a Christian. And somebody says, I don't feel like Chris. So I'm like, maybe you're not. So we'll go into 1 John, which is a great book to look at. And we said, are you walking in the light? Are you in fellowship with other believers? Are you receiving the word, which we had from the beginning? Are you doing those things? Well, then you are a believer because we are taking this truth. We are corresponding to the truth, which is the Bible. So reality has to conform to God's word. The Bible is a truth by which all our experiences must be interpreted. It is the precondition for all truth, the ultimate standard by which everything else stands or falls. Let's pray, and then we're going to open the Bible. Lord God, I thank you for this day, and I just pray that you would lead us in your word. You would help us to know your truth, and take it as it is, the very word of God, that we would use it as the bedrock by which we judge everything else instead of the other way around. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 20. So Jesus just gotten rode into Jerusalem, and now he's going to be in the temple. And Luke chapter 20 is a series of confrontations between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day. And so we're going to get, this is controversy number one, and it has to do with authority. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up. So they came up to him. And they want to know, so this is what kind of credentials Jesus has, what authority that he's going to do these things in. And so we have this confrontation between what is the authority of the day, the people who are nominally in charge, and with Jesus, who, by the way, has just rode into Jerusalem as the king, as the messianic king, who is going to come out on top. Now, the chief priests and the leaders, they might have good reason to be offended because Jesus just came in. And remember what he did last week? He turned over the money changers. He kicked out the sellers. And the chief priests and the leaders, they're the people with a financial stake in the status quo. And so you want to know, you know, one way to understand the world, you know, follow the money, and their money is getting threatened, and so they're threatened with Jesus. Jesus is just here preaching the gospel and teaching. And it goes back to Jesus' ministry. We know Jesus' ministry right from the beginning. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, open blind eyes that they may see. And so we have the confrontation. And the chief priests, they said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." It's kind of the same question, like, who made Jesus God? Like, who gave you this authority? It's all about authority. Authority is the right to command or teach others. There are different like levels and kinds of authority. And, you know, an authority is basically something that you can't ignore without some sorts of consequences. Now, Martin has explained this to me. If a cop comes and tells you you'd like to move here and you don't, like, they can arrest you, which is, you know, a certain kind of authority. If the pastor tells you, you know, repent and believe the gospel, now that's a kind of authority too, one that will have consequences, maybe not in 5 minutes when you get tasered, but down the road, consequences are coming. That's what authority is, something you can't ignore. Authority is also important. Authority is important when you're teaching. We've talked a lot about authority. You thought about, you know, the last 2 years, you know, who's an authority on the COVID-19 pandemic? Now, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Do you listen to who? World Health Organization? Like, who knows anymore who's an authority? Because if somebody is coming and telling me something, I want to know what their credentials are, or at least I want to know, like, where their point of view is coming. Because if somebody from the Chinese government is telling me something, I'm going to take that with a certain level of suspicion, maybe. If the New York Times is telling me something, or my crazy aunt on Facebook, by the way, if you're listening, any of my aunts on Facebook, I was just using that as a general example. I'm not talking about you. Or if, you know, I was thinking of all of these like sources of authority. I'm like, you know, what kind of news source could I quote here that everyone here would agree on as an authority? I have not figured that one out yet. But authorities are important for how we live. Like Jamie suggested, we watch this movie, The Free Burma Rangers, and I turned on the trailer and I was like, whoa, this thing looks bonkers. You know, what's going on here? And so then I like looked it up and I found somebody I trusted who was like, this is a good movie. And I was like, okay, okay, I guess I don't have to like spend the time to preview it. I could just watch it with everybody else, which is what I wanted to do, because I didn't want to watch a movie twice. Although it's a great movie, if you ever get a chance to watch it, it's worth renting on Amazon Prime or, no, on Vimeo. You can rent it on Vimeo.
It's free on Right Now Media.
Oh, it's free on Right Now Media? Man, why didn't I borrow someone's Right Now Media account? Okay. that might be stealing. Now, as the chief priests, they come and ask Jesus, you know, what is your credentials? What's your authority? I do have a little bit of sympathy for them. After all, it's a good question. You know, it is their job to make sure there's good teaching in the temple. If there is someone sprouting falsehood, they should probably tell that person to leave, make them leave maybe forcibly. Now, Jesus, as we go through, is not going to answer this question. He's not going to answer it directly. And it gets to one of the things in the Gospels that maybe bugs me a little bit, because why doesn't Jesus just come right out? And they're like, who gave you this authority? Well, by the way, I am God in the flesh. Nobody gave me this authority. I'm the one who sets the rules. Listen to me. But he never does that. And he never comes right out and says, like, I am God. Like, he comes pretty close. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And by the way, everybody there picked up the context of that, because they picked up stones to stone him. They knew what Jesus was saying. And Jesus, in like 100 ways, we go through the Gospel of Luke and we count all the ways that Jesus is calling himself God, alluding to the fact that he is God, in all of these ways that are not quite on the nose. They're kind of subtle, and yet everywhere it's saying this. And here again, Jesus isn't going to answer the question. Now, I think there's 4 reasons here why Jesus doesn't answer the question, and I think they're very instructive. And the first is that Jesus is not seeking his own glory. Jesus isn't seeking his own glory. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. And so in some way, when Jesus isn't like coming right out, he's not doing this because it wouldn't be proper for him to just put himself out there in that way. After all, nobody likes a self-promoter except a self-promoter who likes themselves a whole bunch. You know, you don't like a person who's like, oh yeah, look at how great I am at this. And it's so weird. You know, politicians, they do their ad campaigns and like, look at all of the things I did. It's just like, who loves that? like who's like that? It's like, let another praise you, not your own lips. So Jesus doesn't seek his own glory. Secondly, Jesus is supposed to be recognized. Jesus doesn't need to come right out and say it, because it's their job to recognize Jesus when he comes. So consider for a second what the most straightforward answer to this question is. What kind of authority does Jesus have? Who gave him this authority? Now, the answer to what kind of authority he has is Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus is the great high priest. He's the Messiah. He's the one promised to come. He is the man, the servant of God, like Moses God would raise up. He is given the authority from the Father and the Spirit at his baptism. He speaks of his own self-existing authority as God in his flesh. And we see, like, for in him all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you who have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth, has been given to me. Like, Jesus has all of the authority. So when they ask, you know, what kind of authority you have, he has all authority. That is the answer to the question. And because Jesus has displayed this in his teaching, you know, they recognize him. He taught not as a scribe, but one with authority. In his miracles, like, no man did miracles like this man, healing everyone who came to him. And yet, they didn't believe. And sometimes this gets to me, like, to God's work in the world today, because I think, like, God, why don't you make yourself more obvious? I wanted you to, like, you know, make everybody believe, like, it was there, you know, make beyond doubt. And yet, right here, we see a glimpse of the answer. Because it is so obvious when you look at it with the eyes of faith, and yet there is enough reason to disbelieve at the same time if you have a hard heart. And so they stand there, even with Jesus right before them, they refuse to believe. Just like the priests of Jesus' day, we are supposed to recognize Jesus by his word that he's given to us, by his witness in the world, makes the sun to rise every day. And yet hard hearts still refuse to believe. So Jesus doesn't answer. One, he's not seeking his own glory. Secondly, Jesus is supposed to be recognized. These guys are the experts in the law. And number three, they could not accept an answer even if Jesus gave it to them straight out. He answered them and said, I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? So Jesus is going to show the leaders their sin here by asking them a question that they're going to refuse to ask. Now, of all the Bible verses that are abused, one of them is the don't cast your pearls before swine. Because you can use it as an excuse to not deal with anybody you might not want to deal with. And the Bible calls us to deal with inconvenient people all the time. And yet, here is a little guide of, like, when you're allowed to kind of ignore somebody, and this is one. If they are not going to answer honest questions, if you answer them an honest question, and they refuse to, like, tell you the truth, that's someone you don't need to talk to. Okay, Jesus goes back to John the Baptist here. So John the Baptist, we know his ministry from the beginning of Luke. He went around, that was like 2 years ago. He went around the region of the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the words, in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John's ministry is based on calling a nation to repentance before God and preparing the way for the Lord. In fact, a big part of John's ministry was pointing to Jesus. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so in a way, when Jesus says, is the baptism of John from heaven or from man, he's kind of giving them an answer to the question in a backwards way, because part of John's ministry was pointing to Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah, the Lamb of God, preparing, the voice of the one crying, preparing the way for the Lord. Jesus is God, all of John's ministry. And so if they are going to accept John's ministry, then they have to accept the authority of Jesus' ministry. Now, they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, that is, it's blessed by heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet. It's kind of funny here, is they are the authorities, they're the ones in charge. But they're really weak-willed and kind of spineless here. They want to say no because they rejected John, but they don't even have, like, the spine to stand up and say what they think. They start looking around the ground, and apparently in the temple, we know this from the story of the adulterous woman, they were going to stone her, and it was in the temple court, that there must have been stones around there. And they start looking around all the stones, they start looking at the crowd that really likes Jesus, and they're thinking, maybe it's not a good idea to say anything here, because we might get dead. So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now Jesus, I don't think, was afraid to give them the right answer, because, you know, what's the worst they can do to him? Kill him? Going to do that anyways. Yeah, Jesus doesn't answer because he doesn't put himself forward, because they are supposed to recognize who he is. He's given them sufficient evidence for who he is. And finally, they can't accept his answer. And the last answer is that Jesus can't answer the question, who gave you this authority? Because, like, the final answer is that, like, nobody gave him his authority. Like, Jesus can't appeal to an authority outside of himself, because he himself, as God, is the highest authority. Now, it's borne witness to by the Holy Spirit and the Father at his baptism. It's borne witness to, but in essence, like, no one gave him this authority. Nobody made Jesus God. He was always the authority. In some ways, Jesus seeking to defend himself before this lesser man is beneath his dignity. Jesus is the authority that presupposes any questions. And this gets to how we treat God's word and we treat God, because God's word is our authority. Nothing validates it because it's true in itself. It is the standard by which other things are judged. And we make mistakes, I think, when we talk to unbelievers and we talk about faith ourselves. We talk to unbelievers so often. I want to go and I want to talk to someone, and I don't want to, like, get to the Bible because they don't believe the Bible. So I'm going to say, like, Jesus Christ means this to me. Like, he's really helped me. And you know what the typical response to that? Typical response, Jesus Christ helped me, is like, that's good for you. I'm glad that you found this. Because their personal experience is just personal experience. But if you come to God's word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. When you go to God's word, all of a sudden it's a universal truth. And a universal truth confronts people in a way that can get a negative reaction, hopefully can get a positive reaction. But if we are constantly pointing to our experience, or if we're constantly pointing to someone else's experience, we are subtly taking away from God's authority in his word. You know, sometimes we get really excited about, this isn't so popular now, but about 7 years ago, we kind of hit peak heaven tourism books in the Christian publishing agents, in the Christian publishing industry. And so we had, you know, books like Heaven is for Real, 90 Minutes in Heaven, 23 Minutes in Hell, and it's not my place to judge people's experience. I'm not going to do that. But you have to wonder, when people are more encouraged by the story of a five-year-old than by God's word, and all of a sudden now we're going to believe God's word because we heard this other thing by here, instead of starting from God's word and letting it judge all of the other experiences. It reminds me of something that's really bad about myself. And so early on when I was married, I have this habit of not listening very well, which most of you know, I've been here for more than 2 years. And my wife is awesome. Hi, at home. My wife is awesome. And she would constantly kind of remind me, hey, you know, maybe you want to, like, not talk so much. Maybe you want to listen a little more. You know, other people might have wanted to say things there. And I would just sort of be like, oh, yeah, that's good, that's good. And then one day, after being married for, like, 2.5 years, one of my guy friends, like, we were at something, he was like, you know, maybe, you know, you should listen a little more. And at that moment, I was like, whoa. Oh my goodness, I have to totally change. I'm like talking too much. What kind of a fool am I? Now, that's kind of a true story. And it's kind of embarrassing because how do you think my wife felt? Okay, she just sort of came back and she was like, yeah, didn't have to say anything. But here I was all this time, like, not listening to what she said, not taking her as an authority, and the first time somebody else did. Because I got so accustomed to her that I didn't take that as the most serious thing. Now, God's word is the same way. God's word is the chief authority. And if we, all of a sudden, some other thing comes along, we start running after that, and like, that is the big thing. We subtly, what we're saying is like, God's word isn't the most important thing. This new thing is. Instead of constantly going back to God's word, the authority rooted in God himself, like there's no outward authority, nothing made God's word. You know, here they dig up some archaeological evidence that doesn't make God's word any more true, verifies it. I'm like, yeah, it's true because the Bible says it's true. Some celebrity comes to faith, it doesn't make Christianity any more true. It makes them true to Christianity, makes them true to the Bible. The same way, we have to start with God's word as it is. Now, this also gets to how we think about ourselves. So many people are struggling and with their Christian life, and we get our Christian life and we're like, really? Like, we get down. How many people get frustrated with their Christian walk? Like, lots of people do. Like, it's endemic to the Christian life. And we can be very tempted to think, you know, I need something new here. And so a new book comes out. Everybody's really excited about it. So we go to this. New conference, and we go to this. And we get jumping like we're like fad divers. We jump from one thing to another, instead of going deeper into God's word, trusting it to do its work. Walking in the light, trusting his word, knowing that God's authority was not given by some external thing, but the authority of Jesus Christ is in himself, which flows into his word, which in that changes our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would root us in God's word, that we would treat it as the chief authority, that we would not go running after other things. We would not treat other things as more important than it, but we would be built up in it day by day. Guide us, Lord God, move us, humble us, that we treat God's word as true and judge our experiences based on it. Lead us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.